I'm here with Nico. Nico, do you mind introducing yourself if you want?
I'm Nico. I'm a junior at WVU majoring in sport and exercise psychology with a minor in religious studies. I am also a trans student at WVU, and I'm here to talk about just trans stuff, I guess.
Sounds good. Actually, you're the first trans guy I've had on the show.
So nice.
Nice to hear. Cool. So are you from West Virginia, or are you from like an out-of-state student? Like,
I'm out of state. I'm from Ohio, around East Columbus area.
Cool. And so, what's your experience? I mean, obviously it's kind of a big loaded question here, but what's kind of been your experience like with being like a trans student on campus here?
Thankfully, it hasn't been painful to be a trans person here. There's a lot of protections on campuses specifically, especially here is a big diversity, inclusion policies here. So I luckily haven't been harassed or part of any hate crimes or anything here. It's really nice to be here, actually, compared to home, because I'm a lot more accepted here than I am in Ohio, mostly around family. So I found a lot of accepting people here. Of course, there's other not accepting people, but usually they're easy to ignore.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, when it comes to, were you starting to transition before you went to WVU, or is that too personal a question to ask?
Oh, no, you're fine. I started really questioning a lot around when I was 14, 15, so like puberty starting and everything. I didn't really socially transition until kind of my senior year of high school. I wasn't going by like a new name or anything, but I was like, I cut my hair really short. I started dressing more androgynous. But once I was able to get out of high school and into university is when I, over that summer, I really started to be like, hey, even if this isn't actually what's going on, here's a good chance to experiment, at least for my freshman year, and just be Nico as opposed to who I was in Ohio. And I mean, so far, it's been proving a lot better than what it was in Ohio.
That's awesome. And so you mentioned socially transitioning. For people who don't know what that means, do you mind explaining that?
Oh, yeah. Socially transitioning for trans people basically means you start appearing more like your gender identity. So for me, I start looking more masculine. I cut my hair. I wear male clothes. I bind my chest down so that there's no breasts, things like that. So I'm basically not doing anything to my body. I'm just presenting myself as a man to help pass more and be gendered correctly, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, just to clarify, like, so physical transition is like taking, like, you know, going on T, going, you know, the trans, like, sorry, like, testosterone, sorry, I'm not sure if that's the right way of saying.
Oh, no, you're fine.
You know, getting, like, testosterone, things like that, getting surgery, just wanted to confirm for people who.
Yeah, that's, like, physically and medically mm-hmm. transitioning is what that's usually referred to as. Mm-hmm.
Okay, just wanted to make sure, because there's plenty of people out there who
sometimes I forget that, like, not everyone knows about all this, because it's basically a huge part of my life now, so I always forget I use all this jargon that I don't realize other people aren't aware of.
It's okay. So. I mean, I'm glad to have you here to talk about this, because, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of people who are listening right now who don't know.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you. So you mentioned binding, and you told me a little bit about that, what that is. What's kind of like a safe way to bind for trans and non-binary people who want to start doing that?
So there's a lot of unsafe ways to bind, just to get that out of the way. Like ACE bandages meant to help with sports injuries. Do not use that. You will end up breaking a rib or dislocating a rib or something like that. A much better option is to either use a couple sports bras if you can, if you're chest is small enough and you wear like a baggy shirt. Usually that works really well. The best way is to go online and find a good binder, not on like Amazon or anything, because that can be kind of sketchy, because you never know the right if it's actually coming from someone who cares for your health. Going on a website like GC2B, they are Underworks. They have binders. They're a little pricey, but they're really nice. I've only had one of them wear out from constantly wearing it every day. So make sure you just get a safe a binder from a safe company that's usually trans run, because I know GC2B is. Don't bind for more than 8 hours a day. Don't wear it when you're working out. And always make sure on the size charts that they have online that you pick the right size. If you're in between, go a size up, just to make sure, because if you end up damaging your chest or your ribs a lot, you could be ineligible to eventually get the top surgery you might want in the future.
Thank you for sharing that. That's definitely extremely valuable for trans and non-binary and gender non-conforming people out there. So thank you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to not treat you like the expert of like trans issues. And stuff
Yeah, you're fine.
Because I figure, because like when it comes to, I mean, every experience is different for every trans person, I'm sure. So I figured it would be good to share from your experience with it, you know?
Yeah.
So let's see. So socially transitioning. So what groups are you involved with on campus?
On campus, I am involved with student government, club-wise, anyway. I'm looking to join more clubs, but I also do like to go to the LGBT center up in the Maple House to, like, hang out with people there. There's no set group because there's always different people in there every day, but I like to hang out there. I also work in the student union, so that's nice. I have a nice group of coworkers who I actually just came out to, I think, yesterday with all of this. I figured it'd be good to do that before this goes out. You never know. Those are really the main groups until I find, like, more clubs and organizations to join, if that's what you meant by that.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Just making sure.
So transitioning to the next question. So when it comes to, like, introducing yourself to new people, like, do you how often do you have to come out? Because I know coming out is a kind of an ongoing thing for any LGBTQ person. Do you feel like you need to mention? I'm trying not to rephrase it something mean or anything.
Oh, you're fine.
But do you, like, think that you need to tell people, like, yeah, you're a trans man, or do you just say, my name's Nico, I go by he, him, or something like that?
I usually just say I go by Nico. I usually kind of hope they pick up on what's going on, but obviously I can't expect that of everyone, which is totally fine and understandable. So eventually, if I realize, like, hey, it's not clicking, then I'll make kind of a small announcement to that person or that group and be like, hey, just so you know, this is what's going on. I am a trans guy. You know, stuff like that. It's not a huge deal, but I am kind of scared to just go up to someone that I just met or something, or, like, even to a new group and just announce myself and say, hey, by the way, I'm trans. I don't know why. It just seems like I just feel like I'm making some meeting about myself, even though I know logically that's not what's happening. I'm just informing people of who I am, but, like, I don't know. I just have that weird stigma in my head. So I usually just wait for them to either ask, or if I realize you're not gendering me correctly, and I've realized that now is kind of hurting me with, obviously you don't know, so I'm just gonna let you know.
Mm-hmm. And, like, how has been, like, the reception with it? Do some people have, like, struggle a little bit with, like, addressing you by your proper pronouns and your name and stuff?
I haven't come across anyone, at least here, that has had issues with that. If they do, we're not close friends anyway, because all my close friends have no issue with it. They were fully accepting when I first told them. They all referred to me correctly, and if they mess up, they fix it real quick. So it's not a huge issue, at least with close friends. With coworkers, I'm not sure yet. We're going to see. I work tonight, so we'll see how well that goes. But from what I've seen, it's been really accepting, at least in, like, the chats I've mentioned this in. So usually people are pretty accepting, at least here.
That's good. That's really good to hear. I mean, I remember you saying that, like, oh, I get back at home, like, it's not quite as accepted. You don't have to talk about that if you don't want to, so don't worry.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Yeah, so, like, you said that you started socially transitioning when you got here to WVU, right?
Yeah.
Have you met other, like, you know, have you met other people who have gone through similar situations that you have, like other trans and non-binary people?
Yeah, I actually, one of my close friends is a trans woman, but she's completely unable to transition in any way. She's also from Ohio, And her family is very, very transphobic, homophobic, things like that. So she can't safely transition in any way because she's still dependent on her parents and has to go back to Ohio, things like that. So while our group of close friends all refer to her with her name and pronouns and everything like that, whenever her dad calls, she has to shush us real quick and remember, like, hey, call me this in case my dad hears, things like that. So that kind of makes me realize how kind of lucky I am to be here and that my parents aren't at the level hers are, because it sounds like they would, for us, my parents kind of ignore that I ever came out to them. Her parents would be pretty mentally abusive towards her or verbally abusive. I'm like, wow, I kind of have it pretty good for the most part compared to her. And I don't like to compare, but it just makes me realize how lucky I am, how safe I am even when I go home, mm-hmm. compared to her if she were to go home dressed as a woman or if people around her called her by a different name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when it comes to, like, going out in public, and I know that, like, you mean, obviously, like, you dress masculine, things like that. Do you, like, ever, like, feel the need to, like, change how you dress or how you present yourself to, like, feel a little bit safer in public? Or, I don't want to answer that, it's totally fine.
Oh, no, you're fine. I definitely feel that way all the time. I'm very self-conscious of how I appear to others for that reason, even though I know I'm probably not going to be subject to any harassment, usually. And if I were, I'd be protected by the university, hopefully, since that's in their code. But I'm very self-critical of myself. When I'm walking somewhere, I have to make sure that I'm, like, keeping my hips straight and I'm widening the way I walk. I have to adjust how I wear my backpack all the time so my shirt isn't completely pressed against my chest in case it's not fully flat or something like that. I make sure I always sit with my legs spread across, things like that. It's like stupid little things that, like, kind of affirm my identity a little bit more, even though probably no one else around me notices. It's like a little thing. I'm like, well, if someone looks over, they'll just see just a regular other guy and not like, oh, it's probably a trans person, because some people are able to, like, clock you, which is like just being able to identify, oh, hey, you're trans, you're not like me, quote. Yeah. So yeah, I do a lot of little things like that. I'm very self-critical of myself.
Mm-hmm. Do you do that, like, when you kind of analyze how you sit and how you walk? Is that kind of out of personal comfort to yourself, or is it out of, like, and I'm not judging you for doing this, of course.
Yeah.
That's me coming out as judgment, but, like, do you do this, like, adjust your body language and things like that for, like, to be able to help yourself and help you, like, feel more comfortable in how you are, how you're occupying that space? Or is it out of, like, making sure that other people see you the way you want to be seen? Or is it both?
It's a little bit of both, but I feel like it's more how other people view me, because to myself, I know who I am, obviously, but, like, the strangers who are walking by don't know me. And I just, if they do look at me and they register me in their heads, I want them to see, oh, that's just another college guy just sitting in the lair, things like that. A lot of, especially if I go to, like, the bathroom or something, I don't want to get double takes in the bathroom if I'm not walking the right way or things like that. Because I feel like there's, like, little subtle things people pick up on sometimes, but that might just be me putting a spotlight on everything I'm a little insecure with compared to how it would be if I were just cisgender, not transgender.
Mm-hmm. So just to, like, for people who don't, who are trying to learn more about, like, transgender and stuff like that, so cis, you might say what the difference between, like, what does cis mean versus what does trans mean, just so people know?
Cis is short for cisgender, which just means you identify with a gender that, you identify with a gender that matches your biological sex. So basically it's basically just the opposite of transgender. Mm-hmm. So it's the majority of people are all cisgender, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's basically like the gender you were pretty much assigned at birth.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the definition I keep seeing.
Bad with words.
Don't worry about it. You actually did a good job explaining it too, so don't worry about
it.
Okay. And then transgender means that you identify as a different gender than what you were assigned at birth. Okay,
just
make sure I got that. Like,
yeah.
You know, streamlined definition, of course, obviously.
Right, right.
You know, different identities, you know, different, you know, outside the binary and things like that. So,
right.
It's the way of identifying. Okay. Just want to make sure I got that.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, good. Because obviously, like, you know, people listen to this. People are trying to learn. So
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure people understand and things like that. So speaking of bathrooms, like, there's been, I mean, like, I haven't seen too many things about, like, bathroom bills being passed recently. But, like, there's been in West Virginia in, I think it was December, there was a trans student who was, you know, just using the bathroom while, like, doing something for marching band, and the vice principal of the school came in and harassed him for it. Did you, like, see that news happen? Like, it was, like, a couple months ago, so.
Yeah,
last year.
Yeah. I saw that through the LGBT center here. They had these little bands that were colored, like, the trans flag, and it said, support for Michael, I think is what his name was.
I think it was, like, justice for Michael or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, his name's Michael.
Something like that. And I was like, oh, what's that for? Was there another murder going on in the country? Because that just happens so often now. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up, and it was basically, I think he was a sophomore or something like that. He was this teen in high school, just using the bathroom like guys do. And then a full-grown adult who's in charge of all these kids and everything and just overseeing the school comes in and harasses him. And that just, when I saw that it was a vice principal, that kind of just blew my mind a little bit. I'm like, wow, there's really these people in positions of power that are harassing literal kids, these teenagers. Because obviously there was no harm in Michael using the bathroom or anything like that, and the principal wasn't even yelling about, like, for your safety, you shouldn't be in here, things like that. He was just being outright derogatory, telling Michael to, like, come use the urinal and stuff like that if he's really a boy. And stuff like that just really, really irritates me and makes me realize that so many people aren't educated very well on trans issues, and they like to have a voice on it, but they don't know anything about it. And, like, that's no fault of them, but when they start harassing other people and acting like they know their lives, that's when it becomes a problem, because they don't look into what being trans actually is or how it works.
Mm-hmm. So I keep bringing up negative sort of things, like, you know, like, just things like that, because I'm sure that you, I mean, not only do we have to see it, but you have to, like, you know, you see other people like you who are having, you know, these issues and who are, you know, are being attacked and being harassed. I mean, black trans women have been murdered, like, there's, like, about, like, 11, I think, at this point, have been murdered this year.
I think
year.
So.
Like, just seeing all that, it must be, like, I mean, as a human being, you should be horrified. But,
right.
Like, as, like, especially as someone who's part of that community, that must be really hard to see every day, that kind of, like, news and that kind of, like, reception, you know?
Yeah.
So let's try to change the subject a little bit positive, because obviously it's like this gotta be something good too.
Right.
So I saw YouTuber Miles McKenna. He's been, like, documenting his transition on YouTube. Like, trans visibility is starting to become more I'm not trying to say mainstream as if being trans is a trend, but, like,
yeah.
It's like being
more prominent.
How does it feel to see more trans actors and openly trans people in media?
It makes me really happy, honestly. Like, I know in the new Spider-Man Homecoming, I think there was a trans actor in there as one of, I think one of Peter's friends. I haven't seen the movie yet, so I'm not sure. But seeing stuff like that and, like, all the support that actor is getting, and the kind of, I'm trying to think of the right word, latent visibility, like, you don't know at first probably, but then when you read up on actors or things like that, you see and you're like, oh, that's just a normal person like me, stuff like that, and that might prompt them to look more into it, things like that. So people like YouTubers, things like that, make me very happy when there's a lot of people who support them and subscribe to them and give them so much encouragement. Of course, sometimes the little scary with their people taking their opinions as full fact, things like that, because a lot of misconceptions can go through. There's a lot of misconceptions within the trans community by itself. But seeing, like, just the general interest and support of all these trans people, especially trans women, since they're disproportionately affected when it comes to, like, hate crimes, things like that. Mm-hmm. When I see all those people being supported by the general populace of whoever happens to stumble upon these YouTube videos, it makes me really happy, and I hope to myself that, like, more people are going to become like this, and there's less people that don't like us, things like that.
Yeah, and there's, like, some news and representation. There's actually a trans guy character on The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix. The character just started their transition and is played by a non-binary actor.
Oh.
There's also, I think it's for Teen Titans or some other, like, DC show. It's mm-hmm. actually going to be a trans character played by a trans actor. I can't remember his name, but
I know what you're talking about, but I also cannot remember.
I see some stuff, and I can't remember everything about it. It's like little things I just keep in the back of my mind for moments like this. Like,
yeah.
I'm cisgender, but, like, it makes me so happy seeing, like, trans people starting to get the visibility that they, you know, they deserve. Like, because that must mean so much for young trans people to see themselves and see their stories represented. Like, when it comes to some of this visibility, were there any people in the media that you looked up to as a kid? Like, I mean, not that there's many trans people that were out then, but, like, was there anyone growing up or when you were starting to transition?
Honestly, because of where I grew up, I didn't know that trans people existed. I didn't know gay people existed until, like, my freshman year of high school, just because I'm in such a, I don't want to say small town, because it's not a small town, but, like, I was very sheltered growing up. So a lot of the people I kind of looked up to were just people I saw a lot in movies, things like that. But when I did start to question everything, I started looking towards the first YouTubers I found, which were often Miles McKenna, Blair White, for a little bit Calvin Guerra, but not a whole lot. But it was basically just looking up to these people being out and open. It wasn't so much like, oh, they make these good videos or they have these opinions, things like that. It's like, oh, hey, these people are out and they're thriving. I want to be like that, things like that, though I don't want to be like a huge star or anything. I'm just like, well, that's really cool that they have so much support, especially online, because being online can be like a whole other can of worms to open. So seeing that they're, at least in the face of any internet harassment, they kind of just shove it aside and they focus on the positive and they keep making more content, more videos. And they're in acting now. They're in those acting businesses and being in really big movies like Spider-Man. Even though they're not the main character, they're still in there. And knowing that just makes me super excited and like, yes, I can do that. I can transition and be accepted by the general public that sees me.
That's awesome. And I mean, that makes me so happy to hear. Obviously, media in general needs to do a lot better when it comes to any kind of representation.
Yeah.
But I like that it is still getting better for a lot of marginalized groups out there. So is there anything else in particular you'd like to discuss? Like, whatever you're interested in.
I've recently gotten quite interested in is going back to like bad topics or like bad things happening, but like a lot of I think about my future a lot since I'm in sport and exercise psych. I think, well, I can't really pick and choose where I go, it's whoever hires me. And I'm looking at a lot of the places, especially a lot of the states in the US, looking at the protections I could be offered or where I could be fired just for being myself if I were to not be completely under the radar when I transition fully. And a lot of the states don't offer a lot of that. A lot of states even, you can be fired just for if someone finds out you're trans and they tell HR, someone could assault you or even kill you, and people can say, oh, well, I panicked. They incited a lot of panic in me when I realized what they were. And then they get away with it, or they get a lesser sentence, even though it shouldn't be, because if it were someone else that wasn't trans or gay or anything like that, they would have been convicted with the worst offense. But if it's trans or gay, they're like, oh, well, I was really scared they were going to be violent or something towards me or make a move on me, so it was self-defense, even though it wasn't. Stuff like that just really, I mean, kind of scares me, because I know the only viable options I have are either to leave the country and go somewhere, like, I don't know, Canada, Norway, something where there's protections, or at least less discrimination, at least from the general populace or government. But again, where am I going to work that has what I specialize in, things like that. So I really like knowing the laws of each state on things like that. West Virginia's like surprisingly a little better than where I'm from, Ohio, is in terms of protections, at least from what the Human Rights Campaign says, which is an LGBT organization full of just information on LGBT issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, West Virginia, I think there's 12 cities in the state of West Virginia that have protections for LGBTQ people, like, non-discrimination. They're non-discrimination ordinance. Morgantown has it. Charleston's had it for, like, 12 years now, actually. I just found that out a couple days ago. all of these different cities, Fairmont's got it, can't bring any names right now, but, like, it's just a little bit at a time for this state, but I think that I heard that there's going to be, in the state legislature this year, they will bring that up again for having a statewide non-discrimination law.
So,
keep an eye out for that.
I definitely will.
Yeah, definitely. So is there anything I forgot to ask about, or anything else you'd like to add, or?
I don't think so. I can't think of anything
totally
specifically.
Fine. Well, thank you for coming on the show today. This was awesome to be able to get to talk to you and get to know you. And thanks for all the information you shared.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome.